What if you could get more from what you already do? When you're a Shell Fuel Rewards member, you can. When you join, you'll save 10 cents per gallon on your first fill, 20 cents per gallon on your second, 30 cents per gallon on your third, and more savings on every fill after that. Join the Shell Fuel Rewards program in the Shell app and enjoy life with more. Your nearest Shell station is closer than you think.
There's a fire inside you you can't ignore. Stand still, not a chance. You're a lifelong learner who's come this far. Now, we're here to help you keep going further. Capella University, what can't you do? Visit capella.edu to learn more.
Hey everybody, I'm still on the road, casual lean. I'm in Portland, Maine, September 10th through the 12th at Empire Comedy Club. The early shows are sold out, but we still have late shows with tickets available. Those are at dansutter.com. And then if you're in Hartford, Connecticut, my birthplace, I will be there September 17th through the 21st doing five shows. That's way too many days. I'm there the 17th through the 19th. Didn't mean to give you false information. I will be there Thursday, September 17th, Friday, September 18th, and Saturday, September 19th. DanSutter.com. There are going to be a lot of fun shows. Also, just go to my website. All the dates are there through the end of the year. And check out punchup.live. Got movie watch-alongs. You can also sign up for my mailing list so when I come to your city, you already know. And these little intros don't mean jack squat. Enjoy the episode. Have a good week. I'm always curious about a question I've never got to ask you about the foosball hustling. Yeah. Has it ever gotten dangerous? Has there ever been a time where you go, like, where someone loses and you go, this could be bad?
I'm trying to think. Not dangerous, but there are men who you can tell that they're not chill about it. They're
I don't think, and I'm saying this, I greatly understand someone being, like, cocky at a bar game and then losing money in a hustling way. Being hustled in general would make me furious.
Well, for sure. And then it's like people are generally drinking. And so also in like this day and age, Venmo, it's not like people are only putting money on the table from like what they have in their wallet.
Sure.
As soon as somebody gets their Venmo out, I'm like, I'm worried for you. Like, I don't know if you know your own limits here because I'll take your whole bank account.
Have you done that? Have you had to like cut someone off like a bartender where they're like, do it again. Hey, and you're like, no, this can't happen. I can't keep taking your money.
I'm worried for like your kids. Yeah. Like, am I taking away food from your table right now?
Because like, I guess in my mind, it goes to like the worst place scenario where like someone's wife is calling you and being like, he lost our child's dental fund. And you go, well, he said no spinnies and that would have helped him. Because you grew up, your mom was a professional foosball player.
Both my mom and my dad. That's how they met.
Damn.
They met at a tournament.
I think we've talked about this before, but that is such a cool, like, you were born in the way that like old Vikings were born. Where it was like you were written about. Like you were prophesized.
It's such a like white trash origin story. It's like my Guy Fieri coming out of the flames. Like
I do love it that you are your parents meet at a foosball tournament.
Yeah.
Did they play each other?
God, I don't know. I don't know if that's how it actually started or if it was just like they were.
So I just wonder if your dad had a line where he's like, great wrist work. And she's like, all right. Who are you?
You like a rough, I guess. He's like, scary hand jobs.
Yeah, he goes, you look like you got the strength of a chimp. You can just tear it right off. Did they push you to play foosball?
Yeah, so there are pictures of me standing on a stool when I'm like two. And so I could be tall enough to see the top of the table. And then they would put their hands on top of my hands and teach me how to play. So it's like, before I even have memories, there are pictures of me playing. I had no choice, but I mean, I love it so much. I'm so grateful.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Sure, Michael Jackson. You got Joe Jackson into foosball. They tiger-mommed you. They were tiger-momming you being like, now you kick. Now and you grow up and you're like, I love this. It's like, I don't know.
I have it.
When you were, did you notice when you start at two?
Yeah.
I would probably say kids start playing foosball at like eight. Were you already nasty?
There are pictures of me playing, like, so my mom was a high school French and German teacher. She was my high school French teacher, which is nuts.
She should have taken Spanish.
No, she was the fucking best.
Oh, really?
She was the teacher that everybody loved.
Oh, that's great.
I had a couple classmates whose parents were the teachers that people hated, and I felt so bad for those people.
Oh, because you also, I'm assuming if your parent is a teacher, you know pretty quick if people like them or not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's definitely, like, the reputation in the hallways of, like, your mom's cool, your dad fucking sucks, your dad failed me, or what. I, like, that sucks, as it, especially when in high school you're just, like, you want people to like you, yes. Your reputation's everything, and you could tell it, like, tarnished some people's reputation if their parent was a teacher who was an asshole.
Just the thought of, like, being, like, pulling your mom aside and being like, hey, can you fucking lay up on the tests? You're cool. Fucking, I can't get invited to a party. You're fucking really, because
you're gonna lose my virginity out here. Yeah. You're fucking this.
Yeah. I'm gonna have a dry high school unless you start fucking really get throwing out some bees to people that don't deserve it. But that is a thing where you really do think about it, like the popularity mixed with the fact of your parent being at work. So for your real, mom was fun.
She was cool. So she would play German rap.
That's crazy.
Blast from the speakers in her classroom on the first day of school. That was like how she would welcome her new.
That's an aggressive
students.
Form of rap.
Rammstein?
Oh, yeah. That's not German rap. That's just fucking, that's just Rammstein, dude. Your mom would play Du Hast?
Yes!
Du Hast.
Oh, my God. I hadn't heard those words in so long. I completely forgot that was a song.
The parts where it goes, Essen, all is all. I don't know German, but I just know Du Hast in the song. That's scary shit.
That was my mom.
Mm-hmm. I get why she was a favorite teacher. If I was walking by a class with my backpack and I'd be like, Ninth! Freund! Kind of like, is that fucking... Dude, she's dressed like the lead singer. Have you ever seen their stage performances?
No. Probably a long time ago, but
please
I
look this up. Rammstein's live performance, they like light themselves on fire.
This isn't
like a band that like is sitting around in turtlenecks. This isn't fucking sprockets. This is like, they like... What we're known for their live performances.
Oh my Pyro, God. I did like, not realize. Oh,
if honestly, and this is, I don't know if you and Chad ever do like edibles or whatever.
We're so boring. We stopped drinking like almost 2.5 years ago. That's and then we haven't even done anything else since.
But maybe you guys find your way to having 5 milligram of edibles.
Sure.
If you're going to have a little, maybe even 2 if you're a grandma.
Just a pinch.
Pinch. Put on Rammstein because you'll know it.
Well, I feel like that's going to give me the worst trip imaginable.
Yeah, bro, like that's what they would do.
I can't watch that high.
Yeah, you can.
I'll die.
Yeah,
that's
but
that's
just, this is how we make you a mental giant. This is your training. This is you and Chad's training. I'm going
to
make you guys marijuana warriors. But
take
watch
me
Rammstein.
To the depths of hell.
Yeah, you guys.
Yeah.
The only way back is through Rammstein. But splice that under the video so people can talk about it. The dude just walks around in a flaming fucking jacket.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude, that used to be early YouTube for me. Smoking resin and fucking watching Rammstein.
Wow.
It's crazy your mom would blast that on the first day.
Oh, my
God. I would
have
taken German because of your mom if I would have heard
so
that.
So many kids did just because my mom was a German teacher. She would play Wolf Mother.
It's great.
She just was like, she was just so cool. Like, always been such a cool mom, such a cool teacher. But yeah, I mean, there was
and
a kid.
So that never, you never had the thing of like, oh, your mom's like,
never.
Everyone was like, oh, your mom's. So when they found out, they were like, okay, did you have like older kids being cool to you because of that?
Yeah, because so that you were asking about foosball, we would
I hate
like,
the way you say it. I hate that. She
funny,
has a proper pronunciation.
You know what? There isn't one. You can
it's,
say
it's foosball. If
you
you're
can
stupid.
Say foos or foos.
Foos.
I have asked my mom.
Okay.
She's like, it's either way.
Foos.
For some, she just always says foosball, and so I said foosball.
And again, quick note before we get back to the story of foosball.
Yeah.
If you're hustling people, use foosball. Because if
oh,
I heard
yeah, yeah.
someone go, oh, I'll play you in foosball, I'd go, why'd you say it like that?
Something's awry here.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. If you went, oh, play a little foosball, I'd go, fuck you. You're going to take my fucking money. No.
You're about to lose my Roth IRA.
Yeah.
What's happening
I
here?
Put a little bit aside that I'm willing to touch, and I might lose all of it. So with high school, with
my mom,
foosball.
She started the foosball club at the high school. So she got a table there and she would teach kids how to play.
Sick.
And so I would come over from the elementary school because it was like walkable. So I would play after school against the high school boys when I was like in fourth grade and I would beat them. And so that was, but again, I know that sounds like cocky. It is truly the only thing in my life that I have such an unfair advantage of.
Well, you were born into, it was truly, you were born at the gym. It's like this, yeah, it's like it's like how kids of like martial arts instructors or kids of like boxing coaches, you know, you just know how to do it. You either really take to it or you hate it.
And my brother and I both loved it so much.
So that's what I was going to ask. Mm-hmm. Your brother, older?
Younger. So I'm the oldest.
So what's that sibling rivalry when you're beating him at fistball?
Oh, my brother can beat me. My brother's really good.
Is he better than you? This is the ultimate question for a podcast.
Here's where we tear families apart. I don't know now.
Send this to her brother.
He doesn't really play anymore.
Now you could whoop his ass?
I think it'd still be pretty evenly matched now.
Man, they should, for like Thanksgiving dinner, for like his family and where you and Chad sit at the table, it should be a foosball game.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Like, you need to incorporate it into family events for just seeding. And this is just I'm an only child and I've always wanted sibling rivalry. But I feel
that's awesome. I haven't even pictured that. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Just a casual, just like kicking it around some gravy. Yeah. I mean, there's no casual football in our house.
Well, that's my next question. Did it get hyper competitive?
Yeah. I mean, we're a super competitive family, all of us. It was always weird to play against each other because we knew you like come to know each other's game and your shots. So
that's,
it's like,
crazy.
It's very different than just playing somebody you've never played before. But my brother and my mom went to France together to compete in the World Cup of foosball. So my mom was in the senior division and my brother was in the junior division. I was in I couldn't make it because it was like, you're in the biggest pool of people against.
Yeah. So where you was like the real deal shit where you would have bumped into like real pros.
Yeah. 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 I was not making those qualifications, but he used to be really good. He's still really good.
So they go to France for the World Cup. Did they, either one of them place?
I'm trying to remember. It's been a long time. I think they did. That's U.S. awesome. Usually like does pretty well.
That's so crazy that there's like a U.S. foosball team. And there's just like, what I always love about it, and I think this is something that I learned from like, or didn't learn, but just love from like Christopher Guest movies.
Okay.
He always does like the weird, you know, like best in show about dogs. Mighty Wind is about folk singers. I always love something that's like, there's a whole world. I'm a pro wrestling fan. That's the same thing.
Right, yeah.
There's like a whole world of stuff that people in the regular world would go like, what?
I know. And we want so badly to get the sport out there more.
Sure.
We just had, so there was a documentary called Foosballers that came out in 2020.
Okay.
That was incredible. The guy did such a good job, Joe Heslinga. My mom and I are both in it.
Great.
And then they broadcast, this was like a week ago, the world championships from last year on ESPN2. So that was exciting for us.
You're not on the Ocho anymore.
I guess it technically was the Ocho, but they played on ESPN2. But it says the Ocho on there, but
isn't that funny?
I mean,
it's a real thing now.
I know.
The Ocho, like Dodgeball made fun of it, and ESPN was like, we'll just do it. We'll just
fucking own this.
Own. That is the smart, that's one of the only smart things that company has done. It's like, we'll just lean into having obscure sports on the 8th ESPN, even though we don't have 3 through 7. Guys, these cell phone bills are getting out of hand. The reason I'm laughing is because this is an edit, because I said the company I'm with and I'm furious and I'm switching. But it is true. This is why this is a good ad read, because this is absolutely true. Mint Mobile, $15 a month, premium wireless. All plans come with high-speed data, unlimited talk, and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can choose between 3, 6, or 12 months plans. So there's not a huge commitment. Say goodbye to a monthly bill. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile. So easy. Sign up online, get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. This is what I'm talking about. If you got Mint Mobile, it's $15. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/soder. That's mintmobile.com/soder. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/soder. That's it. There's no catch. A Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12 months plan required. $15 per month equivalent. Tax and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Greater than 50 gigabytes may slow when network is busy. Includes up to 20 gigabyte hotspot. Capable device required. Availability, speed, and coverage varies. See mintmobile.com. Wabi Paka. Listen, I hate to admit this. I'm bearing in on needing readers. I know I got the LASIK. It's starting to wear off. I'm in my mid-40s. Oh, man, I'm going to need readers soon. And I'm probably going to need other glasses. Probably need a little bifocals. I'm probably going bi in my 40s. And I'm getting bifocals. But Warby Parker, one-stop shop. You can go get your eyes checked. You can get the prescription and pick out a stylish pair of glasses. Because when I do come back to wearing glasses, you are in trouble. I'm going to be looking like an old professor. I'm going to be taking it off being like, excellent point. But right now, buy one pair of glasses, get 20% off any additional pairs at warbyparker.com/soder. That's 20% off any additional pairs when you purchase just one pair at warbyparker.com/soder. warbyparker.com/soder. Go get a nice pair of glasses. Also, they donate pairs. So every time you buy one, they donate one. It makes you feel pretty good. So have good vision and sleep good at night. warbyparker.com/soder. I always think it's interesting because there's like in these worlds, it's like big deals.
Right.
Remember when the meme got popular of the pro bowler when he was going, whoever you are, I am. And everyone was like, pro bowling's crazy. It's like, well, if you grew up with a family member working at a bowling alley, you know how crazy that world is. Like for bowling sure. was way more mainstream than foosball, but like
absolutely, yeah.
That side world, and I didn't. My dad was a bartender at a bowling alley. I could have been
oh really, nasty,
and I just didn't want to do it. I learned how to. I know how to do the toss where it moves, where you put English on it.
Okay,
but I like literally all I wanted to do was go outside and play like catch. And he was like, well, I'm working all day, so you can bowl for free. And I was like, it's for fat guys. But now,
take your fucking nachos.
Yeah, I know why. But now if I would have, I feel like that would have been a cool thing. Like if yeah, I would have followed yeah. the path you've gone down.
Yeah.
Just to casually go bowling with friends and be like, you guys want to put $100 on it?
Yeah, right.
Bowl straight a couple and be like, I'm doing good. And then start whipping that leg.
Dude, that's exactly what I do with foosball. It is so fun to just, because it's easy to look bad.
Yeah.
And you could do the granny yes. a couple times. Just be like, eh, just.
Or gutter it up. A couple and go like, yeah. it won't go straight. And someone's like, I'll play you. And you go, okay. And you pull out the wrist thing yes. and you go, you're about to be in big trouble. I have the bigger, the rose in the ball. I go, sorry, I had this in the car.
Yes, that's exactly what foosball is like. Then you pull out your like foosball grip glove.
Yeah.
And you're like,
you have a grip glove.
Yes. It's like, open your Venmo, motherfucker.
That's
like,
so when you put fun. The glove on, do you go, I only do cash. It's like a fun thing where you're like putting it on and you go, just to let you know, I will not accept credit. We,
cash only.
We, after I taped the Netflix special in San Francisco, we drove up and recorded where Lakeport was, and I wanted to show him the bowling alley, and we turned the corner in the parking lot and it's just demolished, like recently demolished.
Oh.
Just like a thing. And I was like, damn, because I wanted to try to look inside, because one of my memories I have is when my dad would be working and I'd be hanging out at the bowling alley, kids, like local rural kids, okay. would show up and they'd be nasty at bowling, and that's I think I got intimidated out of it. Kids with rat tails just rolling 225s, and you're like 9. Did you ever see a kid at a foosball tournament that you're like, oh, you're locked in?
Yeah, so there was a guy, I mean, he wasn't as young as me, but when he was doing it, he was known as Billy the Kid, because he was like,
please look him up, Billy the Kid foosball.
Billy the Kid, Billy Pappas.
Billy Pappas, dude, incredible. Full legal name.
He might be in the Hall of Fame by now, but for a while, he was getting first at like every tournament, and he was maybe 17 or 18. He was young. And then he was also going to like the World Series of Poker and like dominating in there. He just was, he really had like...
Yeah. Autism for obscure things where he's just locked it. But did you find him? Mike just goes.
They're Mike all just goes, so good.
Yeah, you look at him now. He looks like he runs a vape shop. That's crazy. Shout out, Billy. I wasn't shitting on you. I love you.
You're watching.
But he is so a legend. He is listed as a legendary American professional football player. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's from fucking Lowell. He's from fucking Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
That's so funny, that accent where he's like, hey, there's no fucking spinnies. No fucking spinnies, kid. That's crazy. Reached the final table of the prestigious 2014 World Series of Poker.
Yep.
Finishing fifth place.
Okay.
I mean, he is decorated.
I'm telling you, there are people, and I am one of like many foosball kids where it's like there are lots of couples in the foosball world who have kids and then they raise them. And the most recent world championships, the girl who took first, Sullivan Rue, is like the daughter of two foosball players. She's like really young. She's maybe like 20 or something.
Yeah.
This happens a lot where it's just like a foosball household and they get really good.
This is, you know, obviously pure ignorance because I don't know the world of foosball, but okay. Is there money in foosball now because of places like DraftKings and Kalshi and like, because that money, you can gamble on foosball.
It's true. I don't know how much gambling is going on with it, if any, but it is. We're like, again, trying to get more eyeballs on the sport because it used to, like in the 70s, that was the heyday. It was $1 million tour. One of the years in the 70s, where like
million,
that was the prize
that's
like
money. 20 million now.
Yeah. That was the prize money spread out amongst those tournaments that year. And like, if you took first, you were winning like a Jaguar, the car, not like a live animal.
That'd be sick.
In foosball, that's
it's just like, well, hold on. Sorry, I got this thing. It's just like bucking.
I always feel like that needs to be specified.
They go, we can't pay you, but we got you a cat. How do you feel about a big cat?
It is a very Tiger King vibe. But
driving off in a Jaguar?
Yeah, or a Porsche. Like it was a totally different time. It used to be, I think in the documentary, it was like the eighth biggest sport in the world at one point. It used to be huge.
Is there a foreign country that has like a huge foosball thing? Is like Pakistan like super into it or something?
Belgium, Spain, France.
So there are, Italy. So it's mostly like Western Europe is super into
places where soccer is so huge because it's table soccer.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Inside, can't play soccer, play some foosball.
Play table soccer, yeah.
Well, I'm reading about one Billy Pappas, aka Billy the Kid. This guy won the tornado. What's tornado format?
So tornado is, it's like the most widely recognized table. It's like, I think the number one top of the line one. It's like what Chad and I have at home. It's a heavy, it's just like a really high quality table.
When you guys bought your house, because you moved to Minneapolis, mm-hmm. obviously she been on the show and you guys are getting married soon.
Sunday.
No way! That is fucking awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. This is such
so
a
it'll
crazy.
Be out. She just got married.
This
episode's coming out on Tuesday.
Okay, yeah.
It just came out in, where are you guys getting married?
In Spokane.
I'm in Spokane.
This weekend?
I'm working Spokane Comedy Club. I swear to God.
You could have been our officiant.
Oh, that would have been so fun. I would have charged a full table. I would have charged for a tornado table on top of the line.
My dad is marrying us, which is very sweet.
That's so fun. Is he going to play the trumpet?
No, we're only doing 20 people.
That's sick.
And I could have, it's like just immediate family.
Are you guys going to be in, come do guest sets.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I didn't even think about that.
If you and Chad are going to be in fucking Spokane, me and Tom Thakkar are going to be there.
Oh, I love him too.
Yeah,
okay.
We're going to go see Spider-Man. We're getting married. We're getting married as a new Spider-Man. So it's not your weekend now. It's all of our weekend.
This is so funny. Okay.
But seriously, come by.
Okay, we just need to make sure that like we get the family stuff done. We need
literally,
to.
Literally, I'm talking about
time,
if you guys have everything done, I'll be there Thursday.
Okay.
Even if you guys want to come by Thursday or Friday.
Okay.
Having you and Chad on a show would be fucking awesome. I'm also
it would
doing
be
new
very
stuff,
fun.
So I need the time.
We'll just each do a casual 25.
Yeah. I go, well, guys, that was great. Anyways, here's one joke you've never heard.
All right, that's
hey, all right. I gotta go. That's
we'll
so
be there.
Funny.
Thanks.
Because I was gonna say something because you're doing the podcast, and I was like, oh, I'm in Spokane this week.
Oh my God, that's so, yeah. So this week, my Netflix special comes out Tuesday. Well, it's already out by the time you guys hear this. And then we're getting married Sunday.
It's like so fun.
The most exciting week ever.
A lot of stress.
It's like I had to break things up a little bit leading up to it and be like, okay, how can I check things off beforehand to-do list wise so that when this week came, I could enjoy it and not totally stress out.
So tomorrow you go back to Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. Then you all go to Spokane and
on Friday.
That is a week. That's a hell of a week. Mm-hmm, but that's so fun.
Thanks.
But your Monday is going to be like this. Whew.
Oh, you're gonna be like, I'm going to look fucked up. Yeah, it's just like such an unnatural amount of like adrenaline and dopamine right now. Yeah. It's going to be a weird come down next week.
Yeah. So when you guys bought the house in Minneapolis, you were like, we need a tornado.
You know, he's so sweet. He surprised me with it.
It was a Christmas gift. Perfect.
He's the best.
Top of the line. So it says, back to Billy the Kid. Okay. You won the tornado format, men's single. What is ITSF?
International Table Soccer Federation.
Crazy. It's so funny that you just, so you've been tiger mommed into this.
Again, these were quizzes given to me when I was three years old.
Is that World Championships?
World Championship Soccer, maybe?
Because it said he won the men's single ITSF WCS in 05, 06, 09, and 2013. This guy's got rings.
He's unbelievable.
You should do the Michael Jordan picture.
You guys should look up Tony Spreademan. He's like
I see it right now. And this is my question about him.
Oh, okay.
I was going to bring him up. He often partners with Tony Spreaderman. And Glenn Murray, does that mean anything? Glenn Murray a name? For doubles.
Okay.
And so that's like an unbeatable Tony Spreaderman.
Tony Spreaderman is the, I think, winningest male in foosball, maybe?
Yeah.
It's
won
like playing
several world championships. Mm-hmm. He won the Tornado Worlds in 08. Mm-hmm. Finished second in early. Dude, this guy, he's the global spokesperson for Fireball Table.
Yeah. I don't know if he still does this, but for a while he was living in an RV and he would just travel to every single tournament in the country, take first everywhere. And that's his living. Like,
that's awesome.
People can make an actual living. Yeah.
Would that be, do you think that'd be something that you would do for retirement? Like, you know what I mean? Like you guys are like, you and Chad are retired. You're like, hey, we're off the road or whatever. And then you're like, you want to just travel around and watch me beat people at fucking foosball?
God, I think whatever I do in retirement is not going to involve travel. That's like, I'm sure you feel this way. Like touring, once you get to the places, it's great. But the act of flying your body around, or God forbid, driving it around in an RV forever.
Would you ever do a tour bus?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't either.
I can't sleep on those.
I can't either. When we did the Burt tour.
That's when Bobby fell off the bunk.
Oh, you were on that bus.
Yes.
Holy shit. So for those of you that don't remember, we were on the Burt Fully Loaded Tour in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby Lee came on for a weekend. He got there the first night, killed it.
Yep.
And then the next thing I know is I was on Burt's bus. And I just remember waking up and Leanne being like, Bobby had an accident. He had to go to the hospital. And everyone was like, what? He tried hopping out of his bed. He was on the bunk.
On the top. Very, very top. They're really high up there.
Yeah. Those tour buses get real fucking crazy how high up they get. And he fell off the whole thing.
And like smashed his nose.
Did you hear it? It was his lip. His lip was fucked up.
That's right. That's right. I think I did hear something, but I didn't know what it was. And then Chad had been like tending to him and helping and stuff. But it was... The tour bus thing is not, I don't think I could do it. Chad and I think it was the first night, we were like, oh, maybe it'd be like romantic if we shared one. Let's try sharing one. And then it was like sleeping in a fucking coffin.
That's
like,
what I was just going to say.
It was in
zero chance. No, not in a room. When you go to roll over and your shoulder's like right there and you're like, hey, fucking move. There's no way two people could get into
that. It was
that.
Truly like Foley had to like spoon and not move the entire time.
That's so
you're
funny.
Just
you're
like, oh my God.
I'm so hot. But there was crazy. There was a moment and some people love it. Like you talk to some people, they get on tour buses and they go, I sleep better. Do you sleep well on them? You're on them all the time. Eat an edible and you sleep.
Okay.
For me, it felt like a coffin. Like I'd get in and then for me, what fucked me up was hearing the treads of the road. Cause it's like, are we driving off the road? And then I try to fall back asleep. I'm like, are we driving off the road?
Oh, yeah. or you hit a pothole or something. It's just like a very, I don't know. I'm not like a sturdy gal. Like I hit a pothole, I'm fucking flying. You know what I mean? It's like,
well, it's me on the tour. Every time we would stop, that's when I would fall asleep. So they'd be like, we got to the next city, and my body would be like, and they'd be like, wake up, we got to do activities. I'd be like, I didn't sleep all night. This is crazy. So I was like sleep deprived, being like,
I had like a mini mental breakdown at one point on that, where I was just like crying to Chad. I was like, I'm so tired. I just like, I need to sleep in like a normal bed. You know, when you're just like, you get to a point where nothing's actually wrong, but you're like, I'm not built for this.
You feel like a sick kid. You
just feel like, I was just like whiny. I was like, I can't.
Big J put me on the game early. When I did the one weekend in 2023, that was when he told me, he goes, listen, they're going to not tell you you need to do this. He goes, every city get a hotel room.
He goes, that's right.
Because then you take a nap, you have a shower, and those naps were, hitting. Every
you
city.
You need them. Because it's not like, you're not getting any sleep, but then you're just gonna like walk around and like get dinner at night. It's like you're performing in front of 10,000 people when you like want to be clear headed, and it's just, it's wild.
There were huge shows, and it's, I mean, it was so much fun. But Bert has you doing stuff all during the day.
Right.
So it's not like you're just waking up and just lounging on the bus napping. You're like waking up and he's like, we're racing for go-karts. Here's a camera. We're gonna put the camera on you, and you're like, dude, I remember they woke me up and they were like, hey, you want to come do morning radio? Bert's doing morning radio. And I went, no. And I rolled over, and then Pete again went, hey, Bert's saying come upstairs. And I was like, ugh. And it's like went up and fine. I was like, huh? It's like, come say hi to your family downstairs energy. And I was like, hi, everybody. I'm super sleepy. But that tour was fun as hell.
It's really fun.
You did a lot. We did a lot of fun shit. So you wouldn't do a tour bus. Rental car and then hotel. That's what we did on the tour.
Maybe like if it was a theater tour and then you could just like go between cities, if it's just one nighters, I could do that.
That was what I found worked the best, but even that was stressful.
What's just, like your maximum drive that you would do in a car
for a day? 6 hours.
Still too much.
You go, there was a couple cities where we did like, it was the weekend of Skank Fest. That's why I was so tired. Okay. We did like, it was like Milwaukee to Madison. It was like 5 hours every day in the car. Every night. And then on Sunday, we had to wake up at like 3 a.m. to take a flight to Atlanta to go to New Orleans for Skankfest. And then we got to Skankfest and everyone's like, why are you guys so fucking tired? You haven't been here all weekend. And you're like, I was in a different city every night for 4 nights.
Dad was working.
Yeah, I was fucking working. But it really did kick the shit out. I mean, it really like, you understand that Seeker song, Turn the Page, after a while. We were like, yeah, dude, fucking the road's hard.
It is. It's not a a person over 30's game. You hit 30 and it's like, oh, a red eye will kill me. Things that you used to just be like, I'll just like take a red eye and just I'll get home faster. It's fine. It's like, no, it'll fuck you up for 2 weeks.
Can I tell you where my age is hitting me right now? Where? I was the king of, if it's on the East Coast, I'll drive home Saturday night because I won't want to wake up Sunday in bed. I was just in Baltimore and it was like, I can do this. I can fucking do this. And you're like, go, 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 go. Because it's just, it's better without traffic. It's better just to get there in the night. Okay. But now I'm too old where I'm like, I might have to start doing it in the mornings. I might have to.
How long is that drive?
It was 3.5 at 11 p.m.
No.
Got home
after
at 3 a.m.
Show? No, no,
two
no.
shows.
No.
Yeah, it was like hot and sweaty. And I was like, and I just grabbed my stuff at the hotel and just got in the car. It's that soupy East Coast summer thing. And I was like,
just jammy.
Yeah.
Just jammy air.
It's almost fall, which means, fall clothes, jeans and hoodies and all of the spooky things. I can't wait. Ooh, I can't wait for that first crisp day. Slap on a pair of perfect jeans and get outside. Here's the thing I love about perfect jeans, because I rocked them in the summer. They have good breathability. They also fit well, but they're super comfortable. It's like you're wearing a pair of sweatpants. That's what I love about it. When you're rocking the perfect jean, you just go, oh, I could probably sleep on my couch in these. That's how you know how trash I am. When I look at something, I go, could I sleep in these? But I'm not going to lie when I tell you, taking a nap in perfect jeans, it's like taking a nap in sweatpants. They're just as comfortable. So go check out The Perfect Jean. Our listeners get 15% off their first order plus free shipping at theperfectjean.nyc. Or you can just Google The Perfect Jean and use code SOTER15 for 15% off. Go check out The Perfect Jean. Because, hey, if you're running a small business or your own business, I just want to say it's got chutzpah. That's chutzpah. Because, man, does it scare the heck out of me trying to run a business. I don't even know where you start. If you are starting a new business, check out Square. Because what Square does is, it's not just the little thing that you tap your credit card about. It's more than that. Think about your local favorite businesses, cafe, boutique, restaurant. That uses Square. How does Square enhance your experience there? Maybe it makes it easier to pay the bill. Maybe it makes it more all the transactions clear. For example, like I love when I'll buy merch, you know, sometimes. And it's so easy when I buy merch. If I'm at a concert or whatever and they just have the Square right there, you're like, beep, boop, boop, I'll take that shirt. And Square isn't just fast. It's smart, transparent, and built for the way people actually run their business. No contracts, no hidden fees, no complicated installs, just tools that accept every major payment method, let you see sales and inventory in real time, and help you access your earnings immediately with Square Banking. If you're starting a business or running one that deserves better tools, Square helps you sell, manage, and grow without slowing down. And right now, you can get up to $200 off Square hardware at square.com/go/soder. That's square.com/go/soder. Run your business smarter with Square. Get started today.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's, but the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the strawberry watermelon refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. It's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're gonna need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Ben, I've been reflecting a lot lately on how many big life moments our listeners have experienced with us.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They've watched us go from dating shows to engagements, weddings, babies, buying homes. Every stage comes with new decisions.
The milestones are the fun part, but the planning is where things get real.
That's why Klarna stands out. Klarna gives people smarter tools to help manage everyday money with flexible ways to pay, cash back that builds automatically, everything in one place, and support that makes everyday decisions feel less overwhelming.
Since life moves so fast, the right tools can help you feel more confident. Download the Klarna app today or visit Klarna.com to learn more.
California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license. NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
Well, are you used to Minnesota's humid as shit?
Minnesota's so weird. Nobody prepared me for this part of it. Everybody only is like, oh, bundle up. It's going to be cold winters. And you're like, yes, I get that. That's what's going to happen. And then nobody tells you the summer is like 85% humidity.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, the state bird is the mosquito. I'm like, that fucking sucks. That's crazy. It's like Jumanji out there.
Didn't want to fucking tell me. Is it that bad?
It's, you've never seen so many mosquitoes in your life.
Well, because you're from Washington State.
Yep.
But Washington State, especially Eastern Washington,
dry as hell.
Very similar to Colorado.
Oh, right.
No humidity.
No humidity.
You didn't grow up with humidity. No. The first summer I lived in New York City, you want to talk about that, like being kid sick? That was my energy the whole summer of like, because I couldn't afford an air conditioner. So just the whole summer,
there's
I was
no
like,
reprieve.
And I was working at the restaurant, and I was just like, I fucking hate this. Dude, I used to take, I slept on an air mattress in a windowless room, and it was so hot.
Oh my God. What in the
It was
the
so
fuck?
Much worse, Kelsey. It was so hot that I would have to take, I would wake up at 3:30 in the morning, and I would turn my shower on cold, and I would just stand in a cold shower to the point that I was like, and then I would go lay down, and I would get like 90 minutes of sleep, and then I'd wake up sweaty again, and I'd be like, this doesn't end.
I feel physically sick hearing this story there. That sent a chill down my spine. That was horrifying.
And people that know, fans of the podcast have heard this story before, but this is just in context. My roommate, Vic, shout out Vic, he had a window unit in his room, but we didn't have AC in the rest of the apartment. And he accidentally left it on one time. And after a night of not sleeping, I like heard it and I was like mad. And I was like, did you leave his fucking AC on? And I opened it and the room was so cold that I just turned around and grabbed my down comforter. And I came back in and I laid on the foot of his bed, not like in his bed. I laid on the foot of his bed, fell asleep, down comforter wrapped around me. I slept so hard that he came home from work and like opened the door and he was like, what the fuck? And it, you know when you like wake up and you overslept?
Yeah.
It was like the King Hell version of that. Where I woke up and I was like, and I was like, what time is it? He's like, it's 6:00. I was like, I came in here at 11 a.m. And he was like, well, you've been asleep for 7 hours. And I just it was crazy. But man, that AC, he had it on like 68.
Crisp.
Oh,
a crisp 68.
Is fall in Minnesota great? Because it is. That's you have to hold on
You need a good fall. It's an okay spring. The whole like running dad joke there is that there's three winters and then construction season. That's like summer is because the winters just absolutely demolish the roads because temperatures are so crazy. So it is like the summer is everything is construction, roads getting repaved and all that stuff. But fall is nice. Summer is nice. It's just way more humid than I would have imagined.
Yeah, the humidity, when you don't grow up in humidity and you have to deal with it, you're almost like, this is one of the worst things I've ever felt, and I hate the earth. You, like, become against the earth. You're like, this is, and people, like, now I've been in New York 20 years, so even this is a very humid summer. I can handle it.
For sure, yeah.
But I'm still, like, there's part of me that's like, Colorado doesn't have this humidity. San Francisco doesn't have that humidity. It's on the water. It doesn't, the humidity on the East Coast and the Great Lakes, that like thing right there on the South.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, we're so far north. Why does it feel like I'm in Texas right now? But it's the land of 10,000 lakes. So it's just like in the summer, it just brings it all up in the air.
I remember being at Acme and the hotel's walking distance and it was so cold that I was like, this might be cruelty to make me walk back to the hotel when you're like coming in the door and you're like you're on a moon base.
Yeah.
Have you adjusted to the cold?
I had to get a different car because I couldn't, right when I moved there, I got like a mid-size SUV because I couldn't keep doing just like whatever.
Spinning out, just being like.
Right. They tell you they're like, you need to get something that has good traction. The winters are so crazy. But I got like a very low trim model on the car when I got there. And then this past winter is what everybody has told me is like, okay, this was your first true winter as a Minnesotan because.
You don't want to hear that.
No. Yeah.
How many years have you been out there?
3.5.
Okay.
And I was fucking freezing my ass off the first two. And they're like, this is nothing. I'm like, are you like, what is wrong with you people? Are you sick? Like, this is so cold. And then this winter was like one of the days Chad and I flew home from different tour dates. When he landed on a Sunday morning, it was minus 34 or something like that. And when
that's like the fucking moon, dude. Yeah, you're on the fucking moon.
That's what, 66 degrees below freezing?
Oh.
Like it's.
That's a nice day in the opposite way.
Exactly.
If you caught a 66 degree day, you go, this is fucking nice.
This is nice.
And this is 66 degrees below.
It was some temperature like that. And then I landed an hour or two later and it was minus 17. And, you know, if you are parked at the airport, you're in one of those parking garages where it's just like open air. And so my car had just been sitting there in those temperatures for like 3 days, didn't have remote start. Didn't have anything like that. And you can't just get in a car like that and start driving it. It has to warm up.
Yeah.
So I had to sit in a car in minus 17 for like 10 minutes before I could move it. And I was like, I mean, this is like people die.
Yeah.
It becomes like, dangerous. Like during the winters, there are signs all over the freeways, like electronic billboards that say, if you have to pull over, stay inside to stay alive.
Yo, that's the surface of the moon.
Yeah.
Like it's, there really is like, are there people that die? And this is a foolish question, but I have enough evidence to ask this.
Sure. Yeah.
Are there people that die in the parking garage of the Minneapolis airport? Because that's going to make that. Every time I do a lot of connections at that airport, and I do not want to know that there are people that it is a tomb. Because you see the parking garage when you fucking transfer planes.
It's yes, just
a
right cold there. Tomb. I hope not. But it was the thing that made me go, I need to invest in a better car and have remote start and like heated seats, heated sure. steering wheel. It's not like...
bougie.
It's not even, this is like to not lose my fucking fingers. It's like, this is crazy.
Chad being a native Minnesotan, mm-hmm. growing up in the brutal weather, he's mm-hmm. probably, he could probably tell you a winter of 97 or something where it's like way worse. They always have stories like
polar
that.
Polar vortex stories. Yeah. He talks about, so he's from Fergus Falls, which is like way more up north, gets even colder. He talked about that not that many years ago. If you touched the door handle on the inside of your house, it would burn your hand.
That's, why are we living there? Why are we living there? Why are, that's like, that. First off, that's a Home Alone thing to stop robbers. Like, you can't live in a place where you're just like,
Harry!
Yeah, your house Home Alones you just because it's so cold that you're like, I'm going to go get this paper. Ah! And there's like an M on your fucking hand. You're like, I wouldn't do that. But also... what's crazy about that is the way that people just like the Minnesota, because people from Minnesota are so fucking nice, mm-hmm. but they have that like, you didn't know that? Like, oh yeah, don't touch that or you'll freeze. And you go, that's not fucking normal.
I know.
That's not what normal people go through. Yeah. I'm always blown away when people live in this extreme weather and then they act like you're a dickhead for going like, maybe don't live here.
Oh yeah.
They're like in Arizona, when I moved to Arizona, they were like, my freshman year of college, I didn't have my car. My second year, I moved down there with my car, and people go like, hey, crack your window. And I go, why? There's a lot of car theft here. And they're like, no, crack your window, because if it goes over 110, it'll blow out. And I go, what do you mean? It gets so hot, and air expands when it's hot, that the car will go, and it'll blow out the fucking windows of the car.
I've never heard of that. That's insane.
People should fucking live in that. I think it's very rare. I'm sure there's some desert dwellers right now that are like, that's not how it happens. But that was like how they were telling me when I worked at the radio station. They're like, yeah, make sure you, I like would leave and go crack my windows. Cause they'd be like, dude, but it was, all I remember is it being so hot. Cause I never came home for the summers. I worked in Tucson.
Oh, okay.
You would get like this time of year, August, before monsoon season, because monsoon season cuts the heat, but like July when it's starting to get like 112 every day, you would open, you want to talk about burning your hand, you would open the door and if there was sunlight, you could see the heat wave move out of your car. Like it was leaving your car. Like it was like, all right, thanks.
Thanks.
Then you get in. It's literally the inverse of what you're talking about with Minnesota. Yeah. You get in and you grab and you go, you burn your hands if you touch the steering wheel.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you go, why do people live here? Because we're from states where people just live comfortable lives.
I know.
Colorado, sure, the air is thin. Don't be a pussy. Washington, it's first off, where Spokane is like fucking gorgeous. You're on that so run great. Of like Washington, Oregon, and Idaho, Montana. You're just in that section.
The river goes through this. It's beautiful. There's a lot of meth.
A lot of homeless that look like they can survive.
It is
your homeless wild. Are... aggressive with the point that it makes me go like, you might be able to do something.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard because the downtown, you're like, oh, it's like beautiful. You can walk around and it's like, yeah, you got to keep your head on fucking swivel.
You gave me a recommendation for a sandwich place.
Domini's. Yes.
Tom Thakar, if you see this clip, we're going there this weekend.
Legendary. Been there forever.
It's unbelievable. I went there, you know, when I know a comic from a city, I'll ask Rex. And you were like, get this sandwich at Domini's. The walk there, though, I was like... And I live in fucking Manhattan. And I'm like, get the fuck away from me. And they're like, it's fucking wild.
I was just talking with Ryan Sickler because he was there for shows.
Shout out, Ryan.
And he, the best. And he is from Baltimore. And he's like, look,
I crossed to the other side of the street and I'm from Baltimore. And I'm like, I know it's pretty bad, which is unfortunate.
And I was just in Baltimore and I will tell you, I have more I walked from, I was at the port. I just walked from my hotel. It was nice right in an area. I mean, the port's in a nice part of Baltimore, but
yeah,
when I was in Spokane, I was like, dude, what the fuck? That's always crazy to me is when you see like San Francisco, don't go near Union Square. Don't go near Geary Street. You're going to watch men shit on the street. Right. But when you're by the punchline, you're kind of like, well, it's not that dangerous.
Yeah. That's what's unfortunate is that the area that the club is in and that downtown stretch is probably the worst chunk there in terms of I don't know, violence and all that.
Is Spokane one of those cities where everyone works and then they leave? This is what we were talking about with Jim with Hartford. Like Hartford's like one of those cities where everyone works during the day and then at night there's no one there. So that's why the homeless are just like, this is our city.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they go, they for sure like go back to the suburbs and stuff like that. People don't live right there. There aren't like many apartments right there. It's just businesses. Yeah. So it happens. But yeah, Spokane, when Chad and I were dating long distance, it was like, okay, it doesn't make sense for us to both tour out of Spokane. Because at the time I was like, this is killing me. Like, there are flights.
There's no direct flights.
No direct flights. You're like way up in the corner of the country. I was either having to fly in a day early or like do a 5:30 a.m. flight. And then I almost missed several shows where you're like literally sprinting on stage in your airplane clothes. It was like bad for my health. And so it was like, okay, we should both be touring out of Minneapolis for sure.
The best airport in the middle of the country.
It's so great.
Well, also you're coming from Los Angeles, moving back to Spokane. In LA, traveling has got to be like New York where you go, we fly everywhere. There's not a really city it's hard to find.
Exactly, yeah.
Which drives you nuts when you're like, no flights. There's just no direct flights.
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
But it's like not a lot of people trying to fly out of Spokane. So there's just not this demand for it. But yeah, I mean, I moved to Minnesota in January to live with Chad. And everybody's like, oh, you love that man. I'm like, yeah.
That's
how you know.
That is like
you
a
moved
thing
to Minnesota
like,
in January.
If you have a dating profile, it's like, would you move to Minnesota in January? For me? That's like almost like a song lyric. It's like, I move. That better be in your vows.
You're like, it is.
Hell yeah. That's what's up. Because Katie and I were just both in New York and it's like, hey, do you not want to pay an astronomical amount of money? You know, it was like,
it's
like such fiscal sense in New York versus like, yours is like an old Viking lore where it's like, if you can conquer the elements, then you may have my love. But it is like, thank God Chad lived in Minneapolis and not like fucking another random ass town that you're like, we both have to uproot in order here. Yeah.
I don't think I would have ever thought to go there otherwise, but it is really like the perfect touring hub. It's like, it's so central. You get everywhere so fast. It's great.
The direct flights have got to be crazy. You go direct everywhere.
And
I'm like genuinely getting jealous of this.
I know.
Right
it's
now.
So funny. I'm like, there's like also the time difference. Like people forget that if you're New York or LA, if you have to go all the way to the opposite end, that like fucks you up. Like you're on stage and it's feels like 2 a.m. your time.
So east to west, I would argue I like east to west better because you get the day back.
Yeah.
So like when I'm flying to Spokane, I'm leaving here at 7 a.m., but I'm going to land at Spokane at like 1 p.m.
Yeah.
So then Tom and I, we're going to go see Spider-Man, but we're just going to have the whole day. What I hate is the thing that sucks is Sunday, my whole day is gone. Even though I'm leaving Spokane at 7 a.m., I go to Minneapolis, I transfer, I get back to LaGuardia at like 5 p.m. So you're like my whole day. The only it's thing that's
truly the whole day.
Whole day. The only it's thing nice. That's good is I'm off the road the next 2 weeks. So you go, all right, one day of fucking bullshit and then I'm back and I can just, because man, as we get older, the more you stay home, you go like, I love this.
Oh God, Chad, I love it. He's such a good influence on me for taking time off because like he has kids. He has a very well-rounded, well-balanced life.
Awesome.
And he just like enjoys that anyway, where he's like, yeah, I always take the summers off. That's when like my kids would be out of school. I don't work in the summer. And
I want to marry him. Move over, bitch. He's mine.
But that I see is you like, at the wedding. You're just like, I in my spot of the, you're in a dress.
I'm holding in your eyes. I'm playing a boombox, playing in your eyes. Chad, this is for you. This is very gay.
Like, Dan, you gotta get out here.
In your eyes. I love that you take the summers off. I just start saying all the stuff you're saying. I love the balance you have. But it is, that is like such a mature, cool ass thing. Because when you're younger in this business, you go like, I'm just going to tour. I'm going to go nonstop. It's cool that I'm tired. It's cool that I'm sick. And then like now, the reason I drive home from Baltimore was because I wanted a whole day with my gals.
Yes.
I wanted a whole day with Katie and Myrtle where I go, and this, and
it's like, everything.
And what it, I love about us being older is like, she appreciates that. So she'll go like, you didn't have to do that, but thank you for doing that. And I'm like, I love it. I love being home.
There's nothing like it. I mean, so this summer is the first summer I took off of touring.
Awesome.
Because I've been watching Chad do it, and I had been so just like a pit bull, just like my teeth were just sunk into this idea of like, no, like you have to just like grind through the summer, and like you can't give up tour dates, and you gotta. And I finally was like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna try this. And now I'm like dangerously in love with not working.
Like, yeah, the moment you go, turns out not working, awesome. Even if you love your job, not working still
it's
awesome.
It's actually so nice to like not be on a plane every week. And so this was such a good break.
I'll break your brain with this thing because I love the summer thing. Mm-hmm. But what I do is I will tour during the summer. So Katie and I do a cross-country road trip every year where we start here, we drive to Chicago, then we go Chicago to Denver.
That's awesome.
But it's 2.5 weeks. It's like a long thing.
Okay.
So I take off.
Okay.
So I'm like, my last date's December 12th.
And then, Dan, you're doing that drive in the winter?
We do it every winter.
Whoa, do you ever like run into?
Yeah.
Okay.
We did a whole animated episode of my podcast because we got, so when you get to Nebraska and Wyoming and, you know, my part of the country, winds. It's not snow, it's wind.
Oh.
Winds blow trucks over. Like,
oh, shit.
Major fucking problem.
Okay.
Day after Christmas, we leave my mom's house. Mm-hmm. We're going to drive. And I brought this up on Jim Norton's podcast, but it's true. We drive specifically from Denver to a place in Iowa that has a Bennigan's connected to a Holiday Inn because we love Bennigan's.
Wait, I don't know what Bennigan's is.
Oh, Kelsey. It is. It's like Applebee's. It was before Applebee's.
Okay.
I'm sure Spokane. You guys must have gotten a Bennigan's in the 90s.
I've never even heard of it.
It's like on its way out. But okay. They have great chicken fingers, and they have a Monte Cristo. That is, it's a deep fried ham sandwich. It's unbelievable. So we got super excited. We're driving through Nebraska, and the GPS kept being like, get off the road. And then we get off the road and go, if you want to save 5 hours, get back on the road. And we're like, what the fuck's going on? The state of Nebraska shut down the highway because of the winds. And we were like in this small town, Big Springs, Nebraska. Shout out. I still remember you. And you're not that big. I've had bigger.
Little Springs.
We got snowed in and we had to stay in our car in a Motel 6 parking lot during a blizzard. And we recorded a podcast. And then we animated it. So we do get caught. But we've also been lucky. Not last year, but the year before, zero problems. Okay. Last year, a couple storms that we hit, like driving. But we love it because we just take our time. Because it's just like us and the dog. The dog's with us. So we just go
that's so cool.
Oh, this is fun. It's a rental car, so we're not worried about like beating it up or whatever. And that's like our summers off. Because it's like, I have so much fun doing that. I have so much fun being like, we don't owe anybody anything. We're not doing shows. We're not doing anything. It's just like, we're going to see our family and enjoy the holidays.
Yeah.
But taking time off is like, if you can, and obviously it's such a luxury if you're able to do that.
Of course.
Yeah. But I love hearing that Chad did that with his kids. Because you go, that's how you make good humans.
For real. Yeah.
Is it like crazy? You're like, I'm going to be a stepmom. Like on Monday, you're going to be their stepmom. Now you're like cool girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, oh, it's my dad's girlfriend. But now it's going to be like, hi, Kelsey.
You go,
hello. But
hi, kids.
Is that like a weird thing you've thought about?
That's never really been the dynamic. So I don't think when we get married, it's going to feel any different because so Chad had kids young and he and I have a 14 year age gap. So it's not like his kids are like, they're like adults.
Yeah.
They're not like children.
That's actually
with me as this mom figure. They have a great relationship with their mom. They're great kids. So I'm just like a, like, even bonus mom sounds weird. I'm like not a motherly figure to them, I don't think.
I know this,
but that's
this, I know this sounds,
I don't need to be.
I know this, this sounds, you're just like a roommate. You're just like, you're like an old school gay. You're like, that's my dad's roommate. And you go, oh, good for them. They're sleeping together? Yeah, of course. You know, and you go, oh, is your father a dandy? And you go, yeah, he is. That's his roommate. And they are, they're lovely. They're very happy.
So, yeah, you know, it's been an interesting journey of a relationship with me and his daughter, because he and his daughter are very close.
Sure.
And it is like a weird thing when a new woman comes in your life and she's a comedian. And she had like followed me on Instagram, and then I posted some joke. It was from my first special. I think it was like the vasectomy joke about like that Chad has a vasectomy and like,
oh boy, you don't want that popping up
cum
in your feed.
And
diet
so,
cum is so funny. Your dad's cum being fucking blank, and you go, I don't want to watch this. I'm at the doctor right now.
So she like immediately like texted Chad afterwards, like, just so you know, like I'm muting Kelsey or whatever.
Fair.
And I was like, as you should. Like, if I watched my stepmom, even like,
dude, if Nick would have done jokes about fucking my mom,
oh my
if
God.
My stepdad Nick would have been a comedian and he goes, let me tell you why, my wife's got good pussy, I'd be like, and he goes, he goes, how's baseball today? I go, it was fine, Nick. It was fine. Good bit about mom.
And that was nice. Yeah. But I remember my friends early on were kind of like, his daughter is going to love you. Like, she's in college. She's going to think it's so cool that like your videos get a bunch of views. And I was like, oh, you mean the one about me blowing her dad? Yeah. I don't think she's like psyched about.
She goes, oh, cool. A million people watch this story about my dad getting a blowjob. Cool, dad. Really? Oh, hey, a million people. And I agree. Thumbs up. You got to heart that. That's like, that's like child abuse. That's like social media child abuse where you go, check out this joke about how your dad just blew out my back. And she's like,
Fun Thanksgiving.
You know what's funny is that is kind of a family dynamic with stand-up, because I had a joke about Katie catching me watching porn on my phone through a Bluetooth.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then we were in Boston, and she's like, well, my dad's going to see this. And she just sat at a table with her dad and like watched him watch the bit, and she was
oh my God,
this sucks. And you're like, yeah, I bet it does, because you don't realize sometimes you're writing a joke, and you go, you don't think who's going to see it. You think the immediate person's going to see it, but you don't think about the ricochet.
Yeah. You just picture like faces in the crowd, people you don't know personally.
Do you have any jokes on this special that might get in trouble with your stepkids? It's like calling them stepkids.
I told her, I was like, you can watch the whole special, except there's like maybe a 5-minute chunk. And it's not even like that graphic, but I'm just like, it involves sex and I don't think you would want to hear it. And she's like, great. Just tell me those timestamps and I will fast forward through that.
That's
part.
Fantastic. So you guys have a great relationship.
Yeah, it's gotten so much better. At first, it was a little like, how are we going to... I also had never been with somebody who has kids. And like that was an adjustment period for me too, where you're like, oh, in the summers, it's not just the two of us anymore. Suddenly, it's like we are home. Yeah.
How long did that take you to find a rhythm with that? Like the first... by the end of the first summer, were you like, we got this?
By like the end of the second summer.
This
summer has been the best summer so far.
But that's... You know what I like? That's an honest answer. Because the first summer you go, I'll kind of learn how to do this. Second summer you go, these fucking kids rock. Third summer you're like, what the fuck is up?
Yeah.
Welcome back home, motherfuckers. And they're like, Kelsey, no jokes about blowing my dad. A time marker. But that is such a cool way to like come into a family and build your own thing, you know?
Thanks, yeah.
Yeah, and also both of you guys fucking rule. So it's just like, I loved having you guys when you guys were on the pod, because you guys were touring together.
Yes, we had shows here, and that was so fun.
I'm so jealous of that, because I love when she comes on the road with me. Yeah, we did the Tires premiere, and Shane did a show on Saturday that I opened up. You know, I was one of the comics on it, and she just came with the whole weekend, and I was like, yo, the road rules when you're here.
It's the exact opposite of when you're by yourself, because suddenly it's like a paid couple's vacation. You're like, oh my God, my favorite person's here, and we're like in a hotel and we're like gonna go eat.
Yes,
it suddenly becomes like so fun.
Every day we'd wake up, go get coffee, and then we would text Stavros and be like, where are we gonna go get lunch? And then we would have these like cool lunches and then be like, all right, that was like a fun hang. It was like, and then I was back on the road by myself just in a hotel, and I was like, I'm gonna go get a Starbucks.
Where's my person?
Yeah, it really is. You're isolated, and you're like, that's why I've been telling Tom all the things we're gonna do this weekend. I was like, oh, there's a sandwich place. I was like, oh, and then he was like, can we go see Odyssey? I go, we can't, because Katie and I are gonna see it in IMAX. And he's like, all right, what about Spider-Man? I was like, you're on.
You're like, here's our itinerary.
Because that's, I think, the second best thing is bringing a friend along.
I was just going to say that. That makes such a difference to like your mental health and just the experience of touring in general. If you have a friend with you on the road, it's either like, again, if you have a friend, it can feel like, okay, great, we're going to go do these fun things. If you don't, you're like, I'm going to fucking kill myself. Dude, I mean, this is like brutal. You're by yourself the whole day.
If you don't have work, if you don't have something to do, you just go like, great, let me just walk by this business park that's next to the hotel.
It's brutal.
Also, what sucks is now Sagalo's like headlining. So I lost my little brother on the road.
Tommy Brennan opened for me for 3 years.
Oh, nice. On SNL.
Yeah. It's like the greatest thing, because that's what you want, is like you want them to succeed and like
have
it. Yes. But then when they do, you're like, oh.
Yeah. I go, I'm going back to Portland. I go, that's what I was here. I was with Sagalo. But now you headline this club.
Right.
I can't have you come back as a feature. It wouldn't even definitely make sense.
Right.
But what was crazy is I remember when Shane was on the road with me, mm-hmm. when he started headlining, he would call me and he'd be like, I don't like headlining. I want to come back and feature for you. And I was like, no, you have to headline. That's what's happening. And then he got so big that now I get to feature for him. That's so now when so we're at wild. Shows, I go, thanks for letting me feature again. He goes, I'm jealous of you. And I was like,
featuring is so sweet.
15 to 20 minutes of just your best shit, and then hang out, watch a show.
It's honestly the fucking best.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
It is fucking great.
Yeah.
What's the special name?
It's called Happy Hour.
Happy Hour's on Netflix right now.
Please go watch it.
Go
guys.
Watch it. Get her in the top 10.
Yes.
This is how we're going to make money off Netflix. You have to put us in the top 10. But go watch Happy Hour. Go check out her and Chad's podcast. Go watch everything they do. They're the best. Congratulations on the marriage.
Thank you.
I'll be there.
You're just in a bush. Like, Dan.
Congratulations. But you're the best. Thanks for coming by and doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
There's a fire inside you you can't ignore. Stand still, not a chance. You're a lifelong learner who's come this far. Now, we are here to help you keep going further. Capella University, what can't you do? Visit capella.edu to learn more.